Good morning. It is good to be here. There were a few of us men who went off to men's retreat, and so we finished that up yesterday, and that was good. And that was good stuff. And they'll have it again next year, and you ladies will have one coming up here, I think, probably in February or March. So don't have all the information on that yet, but we will soon. So hopefully you can, if you've never been to one of those, it would be a good thing. And one is just fellowshipping with the people that you know is always good. And you find out that there are other God-believing people that you meet for the first time, and it's just like you knew them forever. So it is a good thing. It's good. So, wow, it's been a busy summer. And now summer is closing in. It is pretty much over, but it has been a busy summer. We've accomplished a lot, but when you accomplish a lot, there means a lot more still yet to do, and there's still stuff that hasn't got completed all the way, like our sanctuary. You know, we got these sections done, but I want to tell you, the work is the behind the scenes is already taking place. The conversations about who's coming next year, how we're going to work on some things, those things are working out right now. So we're praying for a partnership, praying for an association that may partner with us. We're praying about that right now. That would be an amazing piece and a big uplift to us. And there's some other partnerships out there as well that are thinking about partnering with us, so we need to keep praying with that. And so there's a lot going on behind the scenes, but there's also a lot going right out in the front of all of us. And this is, we haven't just started this. This started a long time ago. And it started before we even started the church. It started when God was moving on a couple people and put in my heart to preach. And he was working all that stuff through. And God had a plan. He didn't unveil the plan all the way. He took his moments and times to show us, because we wouldn't be able to comprehend all the stuff that God has for us to do. And what I want to talk to you about today is that we're not finished. We're not done. We got to keep going. Our work is not complete. It's not complete. It's not complete at all. There'll be people that will come. There'll be people that will go. Some people will move off. Others will adjust and go somewhere else. Some people will fall out. It's the way it is. But you need to look in the mirror and talk to the Lord and say, but not me. Not me. Now, if God calls you to go somewhere, you need to be obedient to that. But we have a work to do here, and we are not finished. We are not finished doing what God has called us to do. We are not finished. Just because we are going to be, the Women and Children's House will be open next month, that's just going to be done. Done. That's where it's going to be done. It's going to open. And we know that we have this house next door. We closed on it for a men's shelter program. And it's not done. Bible says, for much is given, much is acquired. It means what God's given to you, God requires you to take care and do that. But there's a second part of that verse where he says, where much has been entrusted. That means God entrusted some things to you. He says, much more will be asked for. With what he has given to you, he trusts you with it, he's going to give you more to do. But we as Christians, sometimes we don't want more to do. It doesn't mean you have to do all of that. It means as a part of it, we are all a part of the big picture. Some of us may work in different areas, but we are part of that big picture. And all through Scripture, all through the verses, all through the Bible, God continues to give us some things. He gives us things that we need to do. He talks about those things. I want to share one here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is a piece where the people of Corinth, and it's about, this moment about is kind of like about giving, which I'm not getting into giving today, but the principle in the Scripture is still the same purpose. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing, and this is, it's kind of about the grace of giving, but there's the principles in it, the scriptural pieces in it, are the same for every part of serving God. He says in verse 10, and in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you must have. So what he's saying is, a year ago you had a plan, you desire to do this. There's a part that you started a year ago, but now he says you got to finish it, you got to complete it. And there's a completing, there's a part of it that when God starts things, God completes things. When he started creation, he completed creation. And with us, when we start this thing, we don't quit on God. We don't quit in ministry. We keep going forward into eternity. And so we see that there's a part of us that we cannot stop doing it. He also says over, I'm going to move into a few places, but he also says in Philippians, I want you to understand today that we got to complete what God's called us to do. In Philippians 1:7-6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He continues to tell even the people of Philippi that what God's put in you, it will come to completion. In Colossians 4, he says this in 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. There's another part of completing what God has for his people. What God has for his people. We need to continue to do what God has called us to do. And in Revelation 3, it comes to a place in verse 2, he's talking to the churches, and he says, Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. He says, I have not found your works complete, perfect before God. That's what he says. That's exactly what he says. And so what we see is we see a place where God expects his people to finish what he started with them. Could you imagine Noah, if he didn't finish the ark? That wouldn't be too good, would it? And in 2 Timothy, he writes out 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. He says, but you be watchful in all things, endure affliction. That means endure the sufferings of it. Do the work of an evangelist. That means do what God's called you to do. He's called him to be evangelist. He says, fulfill your ministry. He says, fulfill your ministry. Now I want to share with you about who we are and what we're about. You need to know that. Now I'm going to put it in you again. It's always with visionaries. Sometimes visionaries get tired of hearing. You know, sometimes you speak it a lot, but when a visionary kind of gets tired of speaking about it, then that's when the people are really starting to get it. But I want to tell you about New Life Fellowship. New Life Fellowship is a church. It is a church that God has birthed. It is a church, and its purpose is to share the gospel, and its purpose is to do and make disciples and baptizing, just as Jesus said and commanded all of us to do in the Great Commission. But then he puts in some places that we need to do that makes us a little bit different, but yet the same with the other sister churches across the world, across the globe. But we are a church that is to reach out. We are a church that stands at the crossroads of brokenness, that stands at the crossroads of pain and sufferings, those with our heavy burden and those who are struggling in their life. That's just who God has created us to be. That's who he created us to be. And he's going to continue to do that, and that's his purpose. And if we went out and decided to do a big sports program, I'm telling you, we'd fall flat on our face. If we had all the money and all the equipment, we'd fall flat on our face, because that's not what he created us to do. As I preached last week, for such a time as this, remember Esther, for such a time as this, know your role. Know what we are about. And I know that some of you don't like to hear it, but I will tell you this. New Life Fellowship is a spiritual hospital. That's what it is. Thank you. You're right. This is what we are. You are either coming in, someone's coming in getting help, spiritual help, or on the other side, helping those who need the spiritual help. And then we have some others who are trying to figure some things out in their life, figuring out where they want to attend, if they want to join, those kind of things. But in, the majority of us are either serving God, serving people, or their people are coming in needing serve. That's just who we are. We're not here to say when the next family of four comes in that we're going to lay out the red carpet and say, how can we do this? How can we do this? How can we do this and meet all your needs? We are going to meet the needs that need to be met. We are going to work on the needs that need to be met, not all the wants. And I understand we understand that families of four and five, and they want to have places where their kids go and their children go and their youth, and we want to build those, and we're trying to build those right now. We are trying to, our church is growing from the, we have growing pains right now. We have people double stacked, doing double ministry. Some are doing triple ministry, and I got to be careful not to wear them out. But I need to remember also, listen, he told Timothy, you put up with the afflictions. You put up with it for a while. Because the key is you fulfill your ministry. Once you become saved and you follow into things that God wants, and there's a moment in your life, hopefully, that you'll begin to see, really, that your life is not your own anymore. That it is God's. God didn't redeem you to go out and live in sin, just to forgive you and live in sin. He redeemed you and he saved you from a lost and dying future and eternal flames into the glory of God. But between now, here, and then, and when he calls us home, we are to serve him. And then he blesses us as children of God to serve and do those things. And sometimes ministry is difficult. Sometimes it is painful. Sometimes it is long hours. But it also, if you sit back and you don't complain, and you sit back and you see what God, the places that we're, quit looking at where God, we think that all the pain and sufferings are, we need to look and see where God is doing, and who God is changing. We need to be a part of that and know who we are. So I want you to know today, it's just who we are. God has created New Life Fellowship to be a spiritual hospital for Huntington. Because there's a lot of churches in Huntington and people can pick and choose what they want. But he made this one to be what it is. Just what it is. And we need to accept that. We need to accept that role. And those who are getting through, then there needs to be time where you need to be a little selfish and say, I'm a little messy right now in my life, and I need to continue to keep coming. I'm going to let God minister to me through this church, and I'm going to get the things I need to get. But in my back of my mind and in my heart, I know that I'm not just being healed through spiritual and even some physical things. I'm not just going through these things just for myself, but I can start to see that God is going to heal me, and then he's going to start using me. I stood in front of a non-commissioned officers board in the military in Germany. And it's one of the most intimidating. I've been through a lot of interviews, but nothing is more intimidating than standing in front of high-ranking officials in the military. And they're going to ask you about 70 questions. And they're going to rank you on a score between 0 and 200. The first thing that when you walk in, you don't even say, you say who you are, you snap at attention, and the first thing they do is they look at your uniform. And then someone usually gets up with a tape measure and walks up and makes sure your ribbons or your rank is exactly 1/8 of an inch from the other. Exactly. And they put their eye down. They look at you. They try to intimidate you. And then they start asking you, what's the range of an M16? What's the range of the law missile? What's all these questions? And then you can know that book good. You can know that book good. And then every one of them that's sitting in front of you get to ask three questions if they didn't ask already. And one of them said, why are you here today? And I said, oh, this is where I'm going to either sink or fail. And I said, I'm here to take your job. The sergeant major, the command sergeant major, was the highest official in that seat. He's sitting right there in the middle. with no emotion on his face. You're going to take his job? I said, that's what I'm here for. Because he's getting older. He's not going to last another 7-8 years. I walked out of there with a score of a 200. I walked out with 196, the highest I ever had. That's the way some of you need to be here. God calls me. You're coming through that cycle of the healing of brokenness, but in your mind you can sit there and say that, you know, I want God to use me, and I want to be up there in that praise team, or I really have a desire to get in God's Word, and I want to learn. I want to learn as much as I can so that I can become a Sunday school teacher, or I can work with children, or I can just go out and work maybe at the meal ministry, or at this, wherever it may be, that God is not just healing you, but He now wants to use you to help other people. And that's the process of it. We're double stacked right now. But we should not be anymore. We're coming to a place where we're getting ready to get at the most pivotal moment. Once we bring back a youth group and get that children's church right at its peak and get that nursery right at its peak, we're going to be right there, and we're going to almost be at the bow of breaking. But I believe God's got some people He has in store here. And some He may bring in from other places. I believe at that moment, we'll be at that one moment spot where it looks like we can break. I want to tell you, hang in there. You that are serving, got double stack, triple stack, hang in there. And here's the part that I want to challenge you that are doing ministry. It is your ministry, you're doing it, but I want to tell you, there needs to be room for someone else with you. Do not feel like, oh, they're going to steal my ministry, or they're going to change it. Listen, there should always be room for more leaders and more helpers. Amen? We need that. And not only are we called to be that hospital, but we're called to show mercy, and we're called to show love. And we're there to help broken people in their time of need. That's what we are here for. Now, not everyone is going to be, not going to jump on that 100% in the beginning. But in time, you're either going to get it, or you're going to go on down the road. And you need to figure that out. Because I said it yesterday in my breakout group. Listen, the days of the country club church, they're done. They're sinking. People done seen. They've been to the circus. They've seen the lights. They've seen the show. They've seen the strings. They've seen all the tricks, all that. They've seen the flashing of lights and the big old concert, all that stuff. I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm just saying people are done with that. People want to serve. Those who are believers want to get into God's business. They want to serve. They want to get out there and do something. You don't have to do everything, but you need to be doing something. We are called to be in works of ministry, of mercy and brokenness and love. Show a little tenderness. Give it a little grace. Sometimes you might need to give yourself a little bit of grace. And here's the crazy part of it. God has equipped us to do this thing. God has equipped us to do this. And here's what I feel. When Jesus was walking on the face of the earth and He's doing His ministry, after His baptism, He went out into the desert, was through that temptation time, came through, was revived and fed, and the angels came and ministered to Him. And he starts His ministry. He walks out. He's starting His ministry. And He does a miracle here, and He does some casting out demons here, a few more miracles, and it just got everybody's attention, and everybody kept flocking to Him, and He was focused because He knew He'd always have the hurting. The hurting's always going to poor. The Bible says the poor will always be. But He began to pick out a few people, a few guys. Went up in there, pray all night, come down, and said, well, you're one of them. Come in. And He'd pick out some disciples. And those 12 disciples, and don't forget there were 70 disciples that did amazing things too. There was a lot of other people, but there was specifically 12. And they were sitting there trying to figure all the things out that Jesus is doing and learning and all that, and they still didn't get everything. But it wasn't until Jesus was died and resurrected and went on and ascended into heaven. Then it was in Acts chapter 2, and just that the Holy Spirit comes into them. And they are now called apostles, and they're doing crazy stuff, awesome stuff, and healing and teaching. But what happened is, out of that group, the church was birthed, and it exploded. Exploded so much that they began to get persecuted for what they were doing. But the more they persecuted, the larger the church grew. And what I want to tell you is, it didn't explode because of those 12 guys, just because of those 12 guys. Because we know Judas went on, and then they had a replacement. But it exploded because the Holy Spirit was not just in them, but in the believers who went out and did things. And they started churches. So what I'm saying is that we need to make room. And God has equipped us with people in this church to do and lead. But He's going to bring in some more leaders. He's going to raise up some more leaders. And sometimes we have to step aside and let someone else and watch them kind of make some of the same mistakes. But we give them mercy and grace and love on them and allow them some room for air in those things. And come alongside them and raise them up. And it strengthens us. So God has equipped us with some people. We're praying that He will bring in some more people and rise up some of the people that we do have. But God's also equipped us with the facilities that we need to do the ministries of the meal ministry, the soup kitchen, of the women's shelter, of the women and children soon, and the men's, and whatever else God has for us. He has given us those properties, and each one has a God story. Each one of them have a God story. And they are amazing. I don't have time to share those stories with you today, but they are all amazing. All amazing. Even this one right next door. It is an amazing story. They're all amazing. The biggest fear for you is that you get used to it and you stop thinking and praising God for it. That you take it for granted. So God has given us this building. He's given us the other buildings and the houses. And we are to take care of those and do that. And we don't always have the people. But what does God do? He raises up mission teams from across the country. We had three churches out of Mississippi this year. Did you go out and get them? No, but they came. Did I go out and get all of them? No. But somebody makes a call. Somebody hears something. Somebody else got something. God does a thing where He just, this person, bing, 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 and all of a sudden there's a connection. Because God's people, He knows all of them. And so there's those churches in Mississippi. There's that church in Florida that I really don't even know how we got connected. I can't remember how we got connected. Another ones that did this. I don't remember how we got connected. And then there was the church out of Illinois on their second year, and the church down in Kentucky, who hadn't been here in 5 years, came back up this year. And then we had the very first one out of Evansville. We had a mission team out of Evansville that came up. So we had seven churches come up here and help us, physically help us. And God is not only equipping us with muscle at times in these seasons of muscle work and the buildings, but He's also equipped us with some finances. Not that we always have, we don't always get what we want to get, but God gives us enough to be and pay the bills that we have. Do you know our ministry, our church pays like 6-7 electric bills. That's crazy. Water bills in this town are high. City utilities are high. We've had $300 water bills. Not just one, but a couple at a time. And then you add all the other ones in. Listen, somebody can volunteer here and work on toilets once a week. Somewhere. But we have those. We have that, and God knows that. So we have church up the street that wants to give $200 a month. We have another church over here I've never met yet. I need to meet them. They give like $200, $250 every couple months. There's a church over here that gives $50. Another one gives another $50. There's some people that I've never met. They give $25 a week. There's a guy out of Arkansas that gives like I think $35 a month, and you'll never meet him. You'll never meet him. But you know what I hear? He is faithful. Every month he's faithful. He's faithful. I wanted to introduce, we had the association meeting this last week, and I wanted to introduce Ben, wherever he is. I wanted to introduce Ben to a guy that we had problems with his check coming through because it was going off of a dead account. And we kept paying for it. Anyway, I wanted to introduce him to a retired pastor so he could see face to face, and him and his wife, and she's in a wheelchair, and they are faithful people on giving. And I see them, and I know they really don't have the money to do it. I know that family. I've known that family for 30, 40 years. They really don't have that much money. But God is supplying the needs for this church, and he's equipping it with the finances, the buildings, and the people, and the partnerships. And he continues to do that because he knows that the supply of brokenness is never going to end until the second coming of Jesus Christ. For the Christians, it was we would go up, and then it's over. Then the world is on its own for a while, and it falls apart. Brokenness becomes king. But right now there's a moment in time and we're allowed to be a part of it. And it is a blessing to be part of New Life Fellowship. Love your church. Try to love me. Try to love me. But love your church. Love your church. God has done an amazing job with New Life. I dropped the ball on the 50-yard line since we're in football season. I've dropped the ball on the 1-yard line. I missed a field goal 15 feet from it. But I always know this. God has always been on the sidelines as that awesome coach and says, try again. Focus this time. Pray before you do that. I didn't know you were going to do that. You know, just a lot of things. But God, if he wants us to show mercy, he's already given us his mercy. You can't show something you don't have. Now God has given us a lot of mercy. He's given us a lot of love. If this place is a hospital, you know we got to deal with forgiveness. You know there's a disease that you can't get rid of. You can go and get chemo for things. You can go and get cold medicine for a cold. You can go and fix a broken arm and get those things. But I'm going to tell you, nothing fixes sin except for confession and repentance, and then the sin, the disease, is forgiven. And we've all had that disease, and we all continue to get it back and forth, but we know where we need to go. So I want to challenge you with this. God has been awesome to New Life. And I want to tell you, someone asked me and said, if New Life fell off the face of the earth and closed its door, would Huntington know? I think now they would know. And it's not because you have this awesome preacher, but it is that we have a group of people. And we see God working in here, and brokenness continues to come into the doors. And it's okay that brokenness is here. We are not building a country club. We are not building a historical building for people just to look at. It is a hospital. It is a place to do this. So I want to tell you a couple of things. We can't do anything else but what we're doing right now. But there's things we're going to add to what we're doing, I believe, down the road. We're looking at doing some biblical counseling. How many of y'all would love to not talk to me, but go off to the side and talk to someone in confidentiality in another place and talk to them about female things or menly things or whatever it may be, and whatever it is that is just, we're working on getting biblical counseling here. Can you fathom that? There's a lot. Where much is given, much is acquired, but where much has been entrusted, God's going to ask for more. Didn't say you didn't have to do it as an individual, but he's going to ask for more. I'm going to tell you one of the heartbreaking things that I've heard this last week, and I'm going to finish up here, is this. First Baptist Church, Jacksonville, Florida. I've not seen the church, but I've been in Jacksonville before. But I saw, and the news was heartbreaking. They own 10 blocks downtown in Jacksonville. 10 blocks of ministry. Isn't that crazy? God's given us 3 houses and a church on 1 block. And I think this is like, whoa, this is crazy. Imagine 10 blocks. And a great preacher running all that, Jerry Vines. I mean, it's just huge. Their Hispanic ministries is in the thousands. Somewhere, somebody, Jerry retired. And anyway, just so lost their vision. You be careful what I say, but they're going down from 10 blocks down, they're going down to 1 block. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Because brokenness hasn't stopped, is it? Brokenness hasn't stopped. Let me tell you, I know some of you are working in some ministries right now that's really hard and really tough, and I think it's just you keep doing what you're doing. But I want to tell you, when someone gets in that ministry sometime later and has been through the brokenness and been through the hearts and pains, man, it's going to get excited to watch them serve others, and they're going to have a passion for that. But I want to tell you, we got to keep going. We got to keep going, and we got to keep serving, and we got to keep worshiping. We can't miss our worship. We need to see each other's faces. I need to see your smiles. You're an encouragement to me, and I hope I'm encouragement to you, and you're encouragement to one another. We also got to keep singing. We got to keep singing. We got to keep singing. We got to keep singing to the Lord because He is worthy. Amen? We got to keep praising Him, and we got to keep doing that because He is worthy. We can't miss it, and we got to keep loving people because so many people do not feel love today, and we got to keep loving people. We got to keep helping hurting people. There's so many hurting people, and in the church, we need to be helping them. We not push them away, but help them. We got to keep teaching the Bible. We got to keep teaching God's Word. We got to keep learning God's Word. We got to keep baptizing. We got to keep baptizing people that come to Christ. We got to keep feeding people at the soup kitchen. We got to keep feeding them because there is a need for those who are in hunger. We must keep learning. We have to keep learning the Word because I got to keep growing in my own walk. You got to keep growing in your own walk. We got to keep praying. We can't miss praying. We got to have communication with God. It's all His. And we got to keep fellowshipping. We lack on that. So some of you got to remind me, we need to have carry-ins. We have one coming up, but we got to keep doing those things. It can't be all work. We got to do some fellowship stuff. We got to keep our doors open. We're not closing. We're staying open. Our doors need to stay open. This community needs these doors open. This state needs these doors open. And the lost and the broken need these doors open. Did you hear me? The lost people need a place to go. Those who are spiritually sick need a place to go. We must keep the lights on. We must keep our lights on. We must keep Jesus in all that we do. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. And it will always be about Jesus. Amen? It always will be. When you love to get to heaven and somebody say, thank you for opening your church for me, because my family was a wreck and we were going to hell, but it was because of the church loved me that now we are in heaven. It was because of you that you said you had an addiction program, you had biblical counseling, you served me at a table where no one else would sit at, and you fed me a meal. And you did that in the name of Jesus. Thank you. And now I'm serving in heaven. And that's an awesome piece. We must keep Jesus in all that we do. We must complete the work. Amen? We must complete the work. And we need all of you to be a part of that. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to step away and not preach. Sometimes you got to preach sin. You do. We love you where you're at. But we believe just as that, Jesus loves you and will meet you right where you're at. But He will not leave you there, and we won't either. Sometimes we got to speak. I love it what I heard yesterday. You got to have grace first and then speak truth. Grace first, speak truth. And that's what we do here. Sometimes it's offensive and they don't want to come back. But you know what? We left the Word in them. Hopefully it's a seed that will begin to convict their heart. And they'll say, you know what? There is a better way. This living together, sex outside of sin, that is a sin. That is a sin. And it's messing me up. Listen, that's what we're here for. Come on, bring those people in. Bring them in. Bring those addicted in. We want them in here. Bring those alcoholics in here. We want them in here. Broken marriages, bring them in here. We want them in here. And we want to work with them. Praise the Lord. Bring those little rough rap kids in here. We want to hear the yelling. We want to hear the crying babies. We want them here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Now, this is your part. Lord, what would you have for me to do in New Life Fellowship, New Life Ministries? What would you have for me to do? Maybe.